Hey there, guys. Welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm Michael Chapman, joined, as always, by Seth Horton and Nick Velasquez. So, I have a mullet now. I lost a bet with Seth, the bet we announced last week on the podcast. Vanderbilt lost to South Carolina. It's bad.
It was like 7 points, too, right?
Yeah, it was 7 points. The ref screwed us over on a no call on a pass interference.
This is the happiest I've been in a long time.
You know, it looks really, really bad, but
it just looks worse the more you look at it.
No, it does. But, you know, one of my friends compared it to Barry Melrose of ESPN, so it makes me feel better about it.
Or a hillbilly.
Which friend?
Either one.
Ted Kluck. He's okay. The journalism.
Shouts out Ted Kluck.
Journalism prof here at Union. But I was happy about that. That's the only satisfying moment I've had in this whole process, I think. I mean, people have complimented it and stuff. But, like, you know, the people who, like, almost like it are going to compliment it. And then the people who hate it are just going to stare at you. And there's been a lot of people just staring at me.
I don't think they hate it. I think it's just a little unusual.
Yeah.
They're not used to seeing a mullet every day, even though we are in Tennessee. But
yeah, I mean, no one who goes here had even been born when the mullet phase died out.
No,
I'm literally from 1991 right now, Nick. I've got the mullet. I've got the flip phone. It's bad.
Did they even have flip phones in 1991?
I think they had flip phones.
Did they have? Did they have cell phones?
I think that was like right when flip phones started to, or it was the big box phone.
That looked like a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I don't know when I'm from, because by the time flip phones came around, mullets were already dead. Oh my gosh, that's sad.
I love it so
much. I only have to keep it for 6 weeks till the end of the semester. Do I have to keep it through finals week, Seth? Is that part of the deal?
Yes. Okay, yes to everything.
Oh yeah, all right. Nick's got it. Yes to everything.
I hate it.
You shouldn't have asked that.
A little bit lenient, but
no.
I wish Nick wasn't here.
I'm a killer.
Thank you.
At least you guys didn't make me shave the goatee off. That would have been worse.
No, I think I like it better with the goatee.
Okay, that's good. I'm trying to decide on the sideburns, if I should keep them or not.
Keep the sideburns.
Yeah, definitely.
Go down to the mustache. Just the mustache and sideburns,
nope.
Please.
I'm not getting rid of the goatee. You've never seen my chin, Seth? I've got a real ugly chin. This might be worse than the mullet.
I don't want to see this.
It's real bad. You're not going to see it because I'm not going to shave it.
All right, man. Just remember that tonight.
Tonight?
When he sneaks in your room and while you sleep.
Oh my god.
That's what I was going for, and I realized after I said it how really weird it sounded.
Yeah, while you're asleep. I'm keeping my door locked tonight.
In your bed. He's going to come in your room, sneak in your
room.
You
have a window I can get.
With a razor.
I'm locking my window tonight.
And shave it.
I'm locking my window and I'm hiding in my room tonight. Seth will not be able to find me.
Sleeping underneath the bed tonight.
If I lost my goatee, I think I'd just like hibernate until it grew back. I can't walk around campus without my goatee, especially with the mullet. And it would just be bad.
You might turn into a Union legend if you do that.
Oh, my God.
Like, you might be a legend. I think you should do it.
Just shave it off?
Yeah.
You're just telling me that so that I do it?
No. Like, you'll be a legend, Chappie. I'm telling you.
I feel like the mullet is already legendary enough.
I mean, you want the ladies? Shave the goatee, man.
Shave the goatee. Get, like, those sandals that use rope instead of like actual leather or whatever.
Oh my god.
Get the Jesus sandals.
Oh my gosh. But no, there's people who I haven't talked to since like first semester here who have either complimented my mullet or just like stared at me the entire time while we were passing each other. It's been an interesting week.
I don't know how long we've been talking about your hair, but I feel like for a sportscast, we've been talking about it for entirely too long.
You're probably right. We'll get into sports here. It was only 5 minutes of Chappie mullet talk. We'll get into sports here.
Updates to come.
Do what?
Updates to come.
Updates to come. That's right. I'm writing a piece on my mullet in a couple of weeks that will run on Cardinal and Cream, so keep an eye out for that. But anyways, this is a sports podcast, so we'll get into sports.
Let's get back to the sports.
The college football playoff, first college football playoff rankings came out last night as of recording. So Georgia takes the number one spot over Alabama.
I'm okay with that.
Okay?
I'm okay with it. Who has Alabama played this year?
Their best win?
What, Florida State at the beginning of the year?
I mean, yeah, that's their best win because DeAndre Francois was healthy at that point. But, I mean, they looked absolutely dominant, though. Like,
I know. There was I don't know how you take them out of the
There was a
spot.
Two-week stretch where they won two games, 59-0 and 66-3.
Who was that 59-0 game?
Was that
in Nashville?
It rhymes with candy, right?
Oh.
It was Vandy.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Vandy,
yeah.
59-0 where they had less than 100 offensive yards.
Yeah, where they had momentum
in the
first drive.
Hold on. We had 107 offensive yards set.
How do you still remember that? Like, the game was like 5 weeks ago.
You guys have been talking about it for 5 weeks. I've memorized every positive thing that came out of that game. And
hey, there's not a lot to memorize, so don't be too proud.
The fact that I had to memorize 106 yards as a positive thing is indicative of how that game went for us. But
yeah,
I mean, so here's Alabama's thing. They've played Florida State with Francois, and they beat them 7-24. Fresno State, Colorado State, Vandy, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, they won 27-19. That was their closest game.
Texas
A&M probably
is
their
a
most
solid
difficult
win.
Matchup of the year since Florida State.
Yeah, the Texas A&M game was a solid win. But Georgia does have a better resume than Alabama does, specifically just for the win against Notre Dame. At Notre Dame, that's the best win in the country this year, I think. But
let me check their schedule, too.
They beat Mississippi State as well, who's ranked.
Mississippi State.
They beat Vandy.
They beat Florida.
Yeah.
So that
what was the score of that Vandy game?
45-14. We were respectable. It was the number one team in the country, Nick. We only lost 45-14 to the number one team in the country.
Oh, my gosh.
It was respectable.
That is not respectable.
It's the number one team in the
country.
You
lost by 31
points. And we're Vanderbilt.
You lost by 30.
We have some of the highest academic standards in the entire nation, Nick.
Tune in, chap. This isn't a Vandy podcast.
Alabama has no athletic stance.
I'll stop talking about Vandy when you guys stop talking about Vandy. How about that?
All right, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. So,
Georgia,
Vandy.
Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, screw Vandy, Oklahoma, Ohio State. Penn State, TCU.
And screw Vandy.
Oh
my God. I hate this. I'm quitting the podcast right now. All right, but yeah, Notre Dame is number three. I think that and Georgia being at number one were probably the two biggest surprises in this week's rankings. What do you guys think about Georgia at three? Or Notre Dame at three, excuse me.
I was about to say, hold on now. I don't know. It's weird. There's a lot of 7-1 teams right now. I don't remember who all lost to who, to be honest. If you could start looking that up for me while I ramble to give you time.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame lost to Georgia.
Yeah.
That's all I remember about that.
Notre Dame beat NC State. They beat USC. And they have the best loss in the country this year, only losing to one to Georgia. So,
yeah.
And they beat, like, Boston College. They beat Michigan State, too. They beat Michigan State,
Who
too.
Who did they beat Boston College by?
49-20.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Notre Dame's been really, really good this year. I actually like them in that three spot. I think you could make a case for Ohio State as well, and I think you could also make a case for Wisconsin, Because Wisconsin has...
Wisconsin's been good. Wisconsin's
undefeated, and they've looked good being undefeated, whereas Miami is undefeated, and they've looked really, really bad being undefeated. But
Wisconsin... Who have they beaten? They've beaten Northwestern. They beat Maryland, who ruined Texas. They ruined the University of Texas's football season.
They ruined the season of Texas football.
Yep.
That's how I avoid that.
That's what I said.
No, they... I mean... Texas's season has been ruined by a lot of teams so far. Now I'm just overthinking the Texas's thing.
But they beat they beat Utah State, BYU, Northwestern, Nebraska, Purdue, Maryland, Illinois. And they will play Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, I think will be their biggest challenge of the season.
Other than the Big Ten Championship against Ohio State, probably. Yeah, it's going to be Ohio State at this point, actually, unless they drop two games. So,
and then they'll play the Golden Gophers, my boys, at the end of the season.
The Golden Gophers aren't bad. They're 4-4. They're always floating right there around. Like, they're going to be bowl eligible. They might go 7-5.
Yeah.
But the Golden Gophers, they'll put up a fight against anybody. But,
Yeah.
I think my least favorite ranking here... was Clemson in the playoff at number four.
They lost to the Cuse.
They lost to Syracuse, and really ever since that Auburn game early on in the year, like week two or three, they just haven't been that dominant.
But wasn't their starting QB out that game?
Yeah, their starting quarterback was hurt for the second half of the Syracuse game.
Was it concussion?
Yeah, it was a concussion. He was out for that. For part of that game. But.
So Syracuse has beaten Pittsburgh and Clemson. Are they elite?
Syracuse is what? 5-4?
4-4. They just lost to Miami. They're about to beat Florida State.
Yeah. I mean, really? Syracuse is a middle-of-the-road ACC team. They're okay. They're better than they usually are.
I think they're going to beat Florida State, and it looks like they might go on a losing streak to TBH.
Are you foreseeing your picks right now?
No.
Who does Syracuse play after Florida State?
Wake Forest, Louisville, and Boston College. And Boston College has been oddly good.
The Wake Forest game and the Boston College game could go either way. Louisville should win, but, I mean, Louisville's been up and down during the entire Lamar Jackson era, and it's also just really weird.
Nah.
But.
So, yeah, Clemson... It's a weird thing, losing to Syracuse, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Who else do they have to play?
Who else does Clemson have to play?
Yeah.
Their biggest challenge is going to be Miami in the ACC Championship, which isn't that big a challenge.
I think you're forgetting a certain school that they play right before that.
Who do they play right before? They play South Carolina.
Yeah.
That's right. There we go. They do play South Carolina.
South Carolina is going to come at them.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson should win that game, but I think Clemson's probably going to win out and make it to the playoff, honestly, because they're already number four. If they win out, they'll add a conference championship to their resume. I don't know. I just don't see a loss on the schedule for Clemson.
Chap, I'll have you know that South Carolina is going to go on the world's greatest winning streak right now. They're going to beat Georgia. They're going to beat Clemson. We're going to go to the SEC championship and beat Bama.
How are you going to get to the SEC championship?
What?
How are you going to get to the SEC championship?
By even beating everyone that we haven't already beaten.
But Georgia won't lose other than to you guys, even in your scenario. So Georgia will still be in the SEC championship.
They will lose to Alabama in the SEC championship, and that's when South Carolina will come in and finish the game for them.
What?
What?
Bye, Matana.
Bye, Matana. Matana was taking pictures for us. Matana's great.
Shout out, Matana.
So that's what the door is in the background.
Later.
But,
I can take my shoes off now.
Nick's way too comfortable with this podcast.
All right, it's guy time.
My feet are hurting.
It's guy time.
Yeah, guy time. In the man cave.
But,
So, I saw something a second ago that threw me off here. I saw Auburn at 14. Who did I see? Mississippi State at 16 at 6-2. Did not realize Mississippi State was having a good season until like 5 minutes ago.
They beat LSU. They blew out LSU earlier in the year. And LSU has been good other than that game and the Troy game. And Mississippi State has been good other than the Georgia game
and the Auburn game.
Where
they got absolutely blown out both times.
The SEC West is just really weird. There's a bunch of 6-2 teams. There's Auburn, there's Mississippi State, and there's LSU. And they've all been great other than two games where they were awful. So I just don't know. I don't think any of them can challenge Alabama, but...
You also have Texas A&M, which is 5-3. Good old Aggies.
Yeah, A&M has been good since they blew the lead to UCLA. I think that's what's going to define their season, regardless of how much they rebound from that. But
it'll be all right.
All the great ones lose to UCLA.
Yep. But
what else do we have on the rankings? LSU at 19, 6-2.
Yeah. Who are you guys' top four right now?
So
that might be a loaded question.
That's a tough one, man. So I'm going to have to go number one, South Carolina, of course. I'm okay. Joking. mostly. So probably Alabama is my number one, to be honest. Like, Georgia does have a more impressive schedule, I guess.
Yeah.
But also, Alabama's coached by Nick Saban, and never bet against Nick Saban. Ever.
Yeah.
Georgia would be my number two. I'd probably have to say, I want to say Ohio State or Oklahoma.
Okay.
And then, like, whichever one is number three, the other one's number four.
Okay.
So that's a hard one for me between the two of them.
Okay. So you've got Notre Dame out then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Notre Dame lost to Georgia already, and it's kind of hard for me to, you know, say that you have a shot to, like, I don't want to say they definitely have a shot. They only lost by 1 point in the regular season, but you've already lost to this team. So it seems kind of...
Yeah, and they won't get to compete for a conference championship, which also hurts them.
Yeah. But. So is Notre Dame really good? Is Notre Dame really good?
Yeah, they'll play Miami later in the year, and they'll play Stanford as well. So that should help bolster their resume if they want to get in. If they beat both of those teams, obviously, but
we'll see what happens. Yeah. What about you, Chappie?
For me, it's Bama number one. I mean, they've just been dominant. I know Georgia's got a better resume or whatever the committee calls it, but Bama's the best team in the country. Then Georgia at number two. And
I think he's just trying to make that L look a little bit better.
I mean, we lost to both of them big, but Georgia at number two. Then I've got Ohio State at three.
Okay. Number four?
And then... Oh, I'm sorry. I've got Oklahoma at three. I've got Ohio State at four.
Okay.
I like Oklahoma a lot. They have one of the best wins in the country right now. I think them and Georgia might be pretty much tied for the best win in the country, actually. They both went on the road to beat an otherwise undefeated team even to this point. Georgia beat Notre Dame, and Oklahoma blew out Ohio State on the road. So... That win was just a really good win for Oklahoma, and then they only lost to Iowa State, who has just ruined the Big 12 season so far by beating Oklahoma and TCU. So that's my top four. I think you could make a serious case for Notre Dame as well, but I honestly think if Notre Dame wins out, just the way things are shaking out, enough teams will lose where they will be in, but... And I think that's the case for six or seven of these teams at least, honestly. But what about you, Nick?
So I got Bama at one. Like, I don't know how you take them out of the top spot.
So consensus here.
Yeah, like, I think that's just the committee just saying, like, Bama has been too dominant the past decade. And
they're trying to make, like, a statement about resumes.
They're just trying to make a statement with that pick. There's no way you should take Bama out of one. Then I'm going to go Georgia. Then I go Oklahoma. And then I would go Ohio State.
Okay, so that's identical to mine. And I think your 3 and 4 were also Oklahoma and Ohio State, right, Seth? Just reverse.
I'd probably say Oklahoma, then Ohio State.
Okay, so we're all in agreement then.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The playoff committee was wrong.
Yeah.
We should be hired.
Yeah.
Bring us in.
Seth, Chap, and Nick, the new college football playoff committee. That would be phenomenal. First phenomenal of the day. I didn't even think about it till just now. You still got me thinking about that word, Nick.
I told you I was going to lay off you, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm still thinking about it, though. It's still in the back of my mind. So now I want to get into some NBA stuff. We made picks at the beginning of the year before the season started on who would win most improved player, rookie of the year, MVP, all of those different awards. So we're just going to do a quick update on our most improved player of the year picks and our rookie of the year picks. We'll go throughout the season and do updates on some of these, but we'll start with rookie of the year.
Right. So Nick, I had Dennis Smith, and he's been playing well. Like, I have him on my fantasy team, too, so I know what he's been doing. But, like, he was hurt, like, 1 or 2 games. But for the most part, he's been getting double figures in scoring, assists. Like, he's been active. So I think he's more of a dark horse right now. It's still a little early. But I would say right now Ben Simmons is in the lead for Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely. Averaging like 18, nearly a triple-double.
Yeah. I mean,
18.4, 9 rebounds, 7.7 assists.
I mean, if you think about it, Lonzo is too. Like,
Lonzo's close to a triple-double, but he's been wildly inefficient shooting. And Lonzo was my pick. He's averaging right at 10 points a game and like 7.5 rebounds and 7.5 assists, I think. It might be a few more rebounds than that, actually. But I'm not nearly as convinced with Lonzo at that pick right now. But
yeah, no, like I said, this is very, very early.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we honestly shouldn't be doing these updates this early. That was my idea. But
I'm fine with really early updates and overreactions because Ben Simmons may be the new GOAT.
Wow.
Who knows?
I mean, Giannis will be the new GOAT before Ben Simmons.
My boy, that's also fair.
Yeah.
But then after him, it'll be Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons isn't, like, really a rookie, though. Like, this is his first year playing.
Oh, yeah.
His first year playing, yeah. He's a redshirt rookie, basically.
It's like when you have a super senior, but, like, it's a rookie. It's a super rookie.
Okay.
Super rookie.
Okay. I don't know where you were trying to go with that.
Let's talk about most improved now, Seth.
Most improved. Seth's pick.
Yeah, Seth, go ahead. Finally take played it away. This year. Take it away.
All right. So what we're not going to do is hate on my boy Chris Dunn.
We're hating on Chris Dunn. We might as well call this segment Hate on Chris Dunn.
He's got 8 points per game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists.
8 points per game in how many games?
One
game, okay.
He played tonight.
He's played a whole game this year. That's better than I expected.
He has now officially played 2 whole games in which they've both lost, but that's not his fault. He's not being utilized correctly. He had 11 points tonight. He had 2 blocks and 5 assists and 7 rebounds, so come at me, chap.
Okay.
He's improved.
He's been all right.
He's improved.
He hasn't been horrible. What did he shoot from the floor tonight? Was it 3 for 11?
No.
I think it was something like that.
It's like 5 for 15, maybe?
5 for 15, okay.
But it's okay.
It is improved from last year.
He's getting his legs under him.
Yeah, okay.
My boy Chris Dunn, he's coming out of the woodworks. He's got to lay in the weeds for a little bit, put in the work. And you'll see. We get to the end of the year. It's going to be great.
Chris Dunn will never win any award for basketball.
He's going to win so many awards. Like, when he retires and he coaches a rec league team, you'll see. He's going to win a lot of awards in basketball.
Okay. My pick for most improved player has been incredible this year. Clint Capella, he's only playing 24 minutes a game. I'm calling out Mike D'Antoni right now. Get Clint Capella in the game more. This guy has the fourth highest player efficiency rating in the NBA. And to me, player efficiency rating is the best metric to determine how good a player is overall.
Well, all he does is catch lobs.
And also, it doesn't take into account defense.
Yes, it does.
Does it?
It does take into account defense. It takes into account everything that you do on the floor.
I could have sworn that I've specifically heard that it does not count defense.
That's, you heard wrong. Because no, I calculated the player efficiency rating for the entire girls basketball team here last year, and it takes into account defense, shooting, rebounding. It takes into account everything. But Clint Capella has the fourth highest PER behind Giannis, who's number one, AD, who's number two, Anthony Davis, and Steph Curry, who's number three. So, like, that's some pretty
Steph dang Curry's
good.
Player efficiency is, he's number three?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't shot that much this year. Like,
yeah, he's shooting like 35% from three this year.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been really efficient in the paint, and he's been really, really good on defense this year. He's gotten a lot of steals, so that probably has a lot to do with it. And just turnover ratio, he hasn't turned the ball over that much. But get Clint Capella on the floor more often. He's only playing half the game. This is ridiculous. Fourth best player in basketball right now. I'm not actually saying he's the fourth best player, but the numbers are there. He deserves more minutes.
You know, never mind. I'm not going to talk about it. It's not what we're talking about. I'm trying my hardest not to be a homer right now, Chappie.
Who are you talking about?
Aaron Baines being the third best defensive player in the league. That's all I'm talking about.
According to what metric?
Defensive rating.
Whatever. Okay. Wow. Aaron Baines has been solid.
But number one is Chandler Parsons, and number two is Mario Chalmers, so
just average players. Super average players. But
hey, all you gotta do is try hard on defense. Defense is effort.
Yeah. And I mean, it has a major effect on the game. Like, we can't just discount defense like we probably do most of the time.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely does.
But back to the most improved player updates. Nick, yours is doing a little rough this year.
Yeah. I think he'll pick it up.
Yeah, Mike Conley.
Because if they wanna be formidable this season, they're definitely gonna need Mike Conley to step it up.
Yeah, I mean, they've been formidable even though he hasn't stepped it up, which shocks me. But he's averaging just 17 points this year, which, I mean, that's good. But like for Mike Conley, like last year he averaged over 20. I guess it's about what he's been doing for the last 5 or 6 years as far as points and stuff. But
also, I just wanted to, so this is just completely switching over to just talking about teams real quick. The Magic. What happened?
Aaron Gordon is shooting incredible from three in that.
Didn't we talk about them last week?
Did we?
We did.
We did? I'm sorry. I'm just still blown away by that.
That's fine. But Aaron Gordon is shooting incredible from, especially from three-point range. Yeah. That his efficiency from behind the arc can't continue for the rest of the year. So I think the Magic will drop off when his three-point shooting starts to tail off. But
Nick, hold up.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton had 43 tonight.
Chris Middleton had 43 tonight.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Chris Middleton had 43 tonight.
Chris Middleton had 43 points tonight.
Chris Middleton has had a solid year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Forgot to mention that to you, chap.
Well, I appreciate you, Nick.
Wow. I did not know Chris Middleton had 43 in him.
I didn't either. Wow. I thought he maybe had 30 in him, a couple nights a year.
Yeah, he'll get 30 once in a while. 43?
That's crazy. Wow. Did the Bucks win, I guess?
No.
They lost.
They still lost?
121, Charlotte. 126.
How many did Giannis have?
17?
I'm not sure.
Wow. That was his worst game of the year if it was 17. He had He had scored at least 28 every game, the first seven games.
He had 14, actually. Scratch that. He had 14. He went 5 for 16 from the field.
Deferring.
13 rebounds, though.
Wow. He was the first player since, like, Karl Malone in 1992 to score 28-plus points in his first seven games of the year. I know that's a stupid ESPN stat, but it's still impressive. I have way too many stupid ESPN stats up my sleeve. But
Nick, I got to ask you. The Cavs got blown out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to hit the panic button?
No. Okay, let's get one thing straight. They have LeBron James. There's no reason to panic when you have LeBron James. And what, they haven't even played 10 games yet?
They've played 8 games. I think they're 3-5.
Yeah, they're 3-5.
They lost to the Knicks and the Nets.
I think when IT gets back, as long as he's more than not the same player that he was, things will start to turn around. And they're also playing like 10 guys. They got to figure out rotations. And a lot of that goes into winning games is a rhythm. So it's hard to get in a rhythm when you're playing 10 guys, 11 guys, you know?
No, yeah, you're right.
So I think they'll figure it out. It's just, there's a lot of egos on that team.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of players like with like no name players. So they all expect that they got to get in the game somehow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got two MVPs on that team. Obviously, Derrick Rose hasn't been there in a while, but
right. He
knows he's capable of playing at that level. And then Dwayne Wade, who might as well be a former MVP. I mean, yeah, you've got, and he's obviously past his prime. He's not even starting anymore. And J.R. Smith has just been bad shooting. That'll fix itself. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's no reason to panic for the Cavs. It's obviously frustrating if you're a Cavs fan. 10% of the way through the year, you're not in first place in the East or whatever like you're used to being. But, I mean, they'll be fine. Yeah. I don't see any reason to panic. And, I mean, the Knicks are capable of winning any game because Kristaps is capable of going off any given game. Kristaps had, like, 37, I think, against the Cavs. So
he had, like, 39.
39, yeah. Kristaps is, he's had an incredible year, too. If he wasn't on the Knicks, he might be an MVP candidate this year. But at least to this point in the year.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, no reason to panic for the Cavs yet.
Yeah.
But I want to get into Union Bulldog basketball here.
Mm.
Your guys' season starts. We've got a scrimmage or a exhibition game or whatever against Freed Hardeman.
Yep.
On Saturday. At 6 o'clock, right?
I think 6 or 6:30.
Yeah, I think it's volleyball is at 1 o'clock.
This
women's basketball is 4.
1 o'clock for volleyball is their senior day, so go support Cece as it'll be her last home game. And then women's basketball plays at 4:30, I think. And I think they're doing the homecoming court at halftime of their game. And then we play the nightcap at 6:30.
Yeah. So that'll be really, really good.
Yeah.
Come out to see them. And then regular season starts next Friday.
Yeah.
Against Spring Hill in Memphis.
I think so. Spring Hill,
I think Spring Hill is Friday night and then Lemoyne Owen is Saturday.
Yeah, one or the other.
Two games in Memphis to start the year. How are you feeling? How are you feeling going into the year, Nick?
I think we'll be fine. I mean, we have a lot of new guys and we got to integrate them into the system. They got to know where they got to be and the plays and defensive assignments, just stuff like that. We're still figuring that stuff out.
I mean, you've only got, what, 5 returning players, right, from last year?
Yeah, if that. So But I mean, like, we had two scrimmages these past 2 weeks, and we took some shots. So I think it really exposed what we need to work on and how we need to prepare for these games coming up. And we're glad those didn't count. So
yeah,
when they count next Friday, I think we'll be where we need to be. This exhibition game will be good for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so excited for basketball season. Yeah. I haven't been to an actual basketball game. There was Bulldog Madness, which was great, but yeah. I haven't been to a basketball game that in doesn't count, I don't know how long. So I am pumped for that.
Looking forward to it, man. Going to get to see the best basketball team in the country take the court.
Yep, AP top 10.
I'm so excited. I am so excited. But
are you excited, Chap?
I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. You don't even know how excited I am for basketball.
I don't.
It's like, yeah, you're right.
Union basketball is back and it's great. All right, I need to stop talking about that. But
if you want to switch over to something, we could talk about the World Series.
Oh yeah, World Series. We're recording this on a Wednesday. It comes out on a Friday, so unfortunately we don't know for sure the results on that yet.
The Astros, but as of this podcast, are up 5-0
in the bottom of the fifth. Yeah. So we assume the Astros are probably going to win. The Dodgers obviously could have a miraculous comeback in them.
I mean, baseball Lord is knows crazy. It's happened before in this series.
Yeah, game five. Mm-hmm. That was, I think, both of them overcame like 4-3-run deficits or something. It was ridiculous.
But we had everything in that game. Blown leads, exploding baseballs, you name it.
That was one of the craziest baseball games I've ever seen. But Astros look like they're going to win their first title. That's good for them, man.
Yeah, for the city.
Oh, yeah.
For the city.
For Houston, after Hurricane Harvey and everything down there.
But oh, yeah.
Jose Altuve has been phenomenal for the Astros. I said it again. That's two. It's less than usual.
Yeah. No, we're getting better. We're getting better.
Jose Altuve has been great for them. Carlos Correa, obviously.
There we go.
I mean, Dallas Keuchel. They've just got a great team. They remember 5 years ago when everyone was just making fun of them for tanking? They lost like 115 games in 1 year.
Yeah.
It worked. Tanking works in pro sports, at least in baseball. We'll see about the basketball experiment here over the next couple of seasons. But
yeah.
I'm gonna miss the art of tanking, Sam Hinkie.
Trust the process.
You. Yeah. The Sixers are looking good, though. I mean, they're looking all right, at least.
Ben Simmons, they look like a formidable team.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is really good. Joel Embiid has been limited as far as minutes, but he's been super efficient when he's been out there.
Still been good.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely a threat to make the playoffs in the East this year, and then who knows, once Markel Fultz gets back healthy and just playing well, potentially next year, we could see Philly be a top four seed here in the next 2 or 3 years, I think, in the East.
Yeah, right now they're just a little young for anything, really.
Right. I think three guys
that are playing their first full season of basketball, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they make the playoffs this year, that's a huge win for them. And even if they don't, there's no need to panic for the Sixers. But
yeah. I mean, Lord knows, as bad as they've been in the past, there's no reason to panic for the next several years.
Yeah. I mean, if we get 3 years down the road and Simmons and Embiid and everybody are still getting hurt all the time, we might be a different story. But I want to get into picks now, guys. We do this game every week where we pick an underdog. Seth is winning right now with 19.5 points.
Yeah.
Nick's Penn State pick lost last week. They blew a giant lead. He would have been.
We had that game.
Yeah, that was a rough one for Nick. That would have put him at given him 7 points and put him with a half point lead.
I was watching it.
Yeah. Were you yelling at the TV?
I probably threw some at the TV, honestly.
Yeah, so Nick's at 13 right now. I don't want to say what my score is.
Two and a half. Give him the half.
You can come back.
I can come back. Hey, I can come back with my pick this week. I'll leave that for a little later. But if my pick wins this week, I can come all the way back if both of you guys lose.
That's high hopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's high hopes.
Seth?
Yeah?
You got your pick ready?
I'm going to take Texas A&M over Auburn.
Going away from the formula, huh?
Going away from the formula.
Cheater.
I thought about taking NC State over Clemson, but also NC State just lost.
Yeah, they were my pick last week, so of course they lost last
week. Broke the
system. Chap tried to get on the formula, didn't work out for him.
I think you can still bet against Florida State this week. Maybe. Yeah.
I need more points than Florida State would give me, though. They're 2.5-point favorites over Syracuse. I can't.
Be fine.
You need whatever points you can
put me
get.
At also, five. I'd still be eight down.
Also, I just want to find out if you're why the system breaks. I just kind of want to test that theory out.
I can't help you with that, bud. I'm sorry.
Well.
How many points is that one, Seth? I might have already asked you that.
13?
13 points. Maybe. Okay. Wow.
I can check real quick.
I'm going to be a huge Auburn fan this weekend.
Oh, no, it's 15 points.
15, oh my gosh.
That's another 2 points.
Go Auburn. Go Tigers. Oh my gosh.
Well, for my pick, I'm going to go with Western Kentucky over Vanderbilt.
Could happen. Could easily happen. Vandy's a 10-point favorite.
You never know.
We'll see. I hope it doesn't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I really hope it does, because that's two things I can brag about. I'll be in first place, and Vanderbilt lost.
How can you brag about Vandy losing?
I mean, screw Vandy.
Oh, my God.
Moral of the show, screw Vandy.
I don't know how I've let these two punks hijack this show like this all year. Oh, my gosh.
I just want to point this out, that Vandy started the season with a scorching hot 3-win streak.
Wow.
Has not won since.
We're 3-5.
Five straight L's.
Definitely the morale is definitely down in Nashville.
Yeah.
So hey, if we win this week, we beat Missouri. That'll put us at 5 wins. We're probably going to be bowl eligible at that point because of APR. Even if we're not, we can beat UT or Kentucky.
You'll beat UT.
I
would be more concerned about Missouri than Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, all we've got to do is beat Western and pull out one of the three SEC games. And with APR, we'll be in because we've got one of the best APRs in the country.
Oh.
What's the APRs for you?
I think it's like sixth in the country. So... like, we'll be fine.
Okay.
But,
right.
Anyway, enough about Vandy.
Enough about Vandy.
Yeah.
What's your pick?
I'm gonna... this is a strictly desperation move. It's 18 points. I need the points to catch up. Idaho over Troy. Troy's going to win this game. Let me go ahead and say that. I have to have these points, though, and I'm throwing a Hail Mary. It's towards the end of the year. I've got to get points on the board.
You can get there are other games to get more points with.
There's what, 4 more weeks left?
There's four more weeks left. The thing is, y'all aren't gonna not win the whole rest of the year. I've got to catch up while I can.
We might.
I have to go with Idaho over Troy.
Massachusetts.
I'll have to Google it after the game.
That's 28
I won't be able
points.
To watch it.
Definitely won't be able to watch that one.
Yeah, but. That's my pick. I'm not proud of it.
That game's going to be on local TV.
Will it be on local TV, though? I don't know if it'll get that far.
We'll see.
We'll see. But I hate the fact that I'm having to pick Idaho football at this point. Oh my gosh. I've had some rough losses, man. There's two games that came down to a 2-point conversion. I'd be in first place if I would have won both of those. Or at least second. I don't know.
All right.
It's been a bad football year for me, guys. But anyways.
Sorry.
Guess that's all we have for you guys today. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week. We'll have another episode of VoIP Lines. Hopefully Vandy will have won, and I'll be happier. Thanks, guys.